Welcome to Nintendo Seconds. I'm LP Tiger, and I'm here with Terry Boulanger. He's the co-founder and creative director for The Messenger, co-founder of Sabotage Studio. So can you kind of give me a brief history of Sabotage Studio?
So Sabotage was founded in April 2016, and its mandate is to make The Messenger. So it's our first game as Sabotage. We've all been working in the industry for roughly 10 years. And then, you know, we just got together a small team of people cut from the same cloth to make a game we'd like to play.
Okay. And, like, how did that come together?
So I started with Phil, our level designer. I worked on a prototype, you know, during evenings and over the weekends. And we finally had something together. And then I reached out to Eric, our composer. And I was like, hey, man, we're making this game, blah, blah, blah. He's a kick-ass chiptune artist, goes by Rainbow Dragon Eyes.
Okay.
And he went like, hey, I don't know you, but sure, let's do this. And so then we had a song for our demo. And then what the next thing I did is I met up with Martin, who's an executive producer, right? Because we can make the game, but we need someone to market it, do the PR, you know, organize shows, events, and knows about funding and payroll and all these things that we'd rather not worry about.
You just want to focus on the game.
Taking all the work. Yeah, absolutely. And so Martin was like, yeah, man, I'm loving what you're saying, so let's do this. So he quit his job, and then we founded Sabotage.
Awesome. So, like, go ahead and tell us about The Messenger.
So, yeah, The Messenger is the story of a ninja that has to carry a scroll across a cursed world. And so many people point out a big Ninja Gaiden inspiration, which was actually a very big influence on me as a child. And yeah, so the game is presented as an 8-bit linear action platformer. It eventually explodes into 16-bit because you're sent into the future, and we support that by going forward one console
Makes
generation.
Sense. Yeah,
you know? Yeah. You know, 500 years after the NES was the Super NES, right?
Yeah,
and so then afterwards the frame falls completely and it turns into side of a sort of a Metroidvania, if you will.
Okay, yeah. And like I didn't personally learn about it until it was unveiled at the Nindie Showcase with Nintendo.
Right.
And did you already plan on having the game on the Switch, or how did the opportunity come about if it wasn't planned?
Well, so, I mean, obviously we're big Nintendo fans, right? And the Switch is probably where it lives with the, you know, the pixels and the chiptune music we got going on. So yeah, what happened is when we revealed, you know, we announced the game in January, we also got an article in Polygon, so we got a lot of views on our trailer.
Yeah.
And every second comment was Switch please, you know, and so it was kind of obvious that, you know, it's where everyone wanted it.
Okay.
It's where everyone wanted it. And so, you know, we kind of like listened to the crowd and said, yeah, we can do PC and one console at launch, and so we picked the Switch because it was the best fit.
All right, so, and there are some obvious inspirations, like Ninja Gaiden, obviously. I used to play Shadow of the Ninja all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, and the thing that got me into it was the music, and, I love action platforming.
Yeah,
so
Ninja
Gaiden and Shadow of the Ninja, big time.
For some reason, Shadow of the Ninja, for some reason, was called Blue Shadow.
Was it for you as well?
I
remember seeing that because I remember Googling it.
What's the deal
Blue
with
Shadow.
That? Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no clue about that. maybe we can find that out.
Yeah.
Were there any other games that were an inspiration for this game?
You know, the you already pointed out the big one. Other than that, it's hard to pinpoint, you know, being like in my 30s now and I've been playing so many games. I still have a big retro collection, so
probably pieces
it's
of
kind
every,
of like,
of
yeah, things. Yeah, you know, it's like little things here and there, and then you kind of try, you got to try to do your own thing too, you know. But yeah, I mean, I'm just inspired by retro gaming in general. I long for the days where everything was simpler, you know. You just jump in with two buttons and there's no loading, and you know, you just jump right in and have fun, you know.
I'm there
and
with you.
In 15 minutes, you can get something done, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. So, like, in the music is it's looking to be an awesome soundtrack. You told us about the composer a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you have a certain sound that you were going to like want to have for the game in mind, or did you kind of leave that up to the composer?
So the thing is, you know, the idea is you meet up with people and you see if you're cut from the same cloth or not, you know.
Yeah.
And from there, my approach has, because I'm kind of like, I'm managing the team, you know, and overviewing the production, and my approach is unleash instead of control, you know. And so it's just, you make sure up front that you've got the right people, and then you just let them go. Whatever inspires them from the base idea, it sparks their imagination, and then they start doing something, you know, and then you just let them go, and it all ties in together. In the case of Eric, our composer, he's the only one that I didn't know prior to working with him on the project. But I was a big fan of his music, so I had been, because his chiptune project, Rainbow Dragon Eyes, is kind of like a Nintendo core thing, if you will. It's like Game Boy music, and he growls over it, you know? And so I was already a big fan, and I was like, what he does would already work for what we're doing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was basically like, look, I just need you to be yourself, you know, and it'll fit right in. And so he started composing, and, you know, immediately we went like, oh, wow, you know, the whole team was immediately, like, sold on what he did.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
You said it's called Rainbow Dragon Eyes?
Yeah, in one word, Rainbow Dragon Eyes.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I'd like to look into that.
Right.
Also, so here's some random questions. Like, have you ever thought of a co-op mode sort of like Shadow of the Ninja?
We did think about it, but then eventually the game is, the thing is, I mean, so I can't really give much away, but
gotcha, yeah.
The game is very much more, like, it's about its story as much as the action, you know? And so it wouldn't really make sense to be, like, the one and then also have someone else who's also the one, you
I
know?
Got, no, I got you, yeah.
And so, you know, for me, it's very much more about, you know, speedrunning. Like, speedrunners are the main community we're shooting for, you know, outside of, obviously, gamers, you know? Because we're very much into speedrunning, but then we can't run, so, you know, it's like, let's make a game for them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, I'm big on, you know, just single-player action platforming, so that's what I like to watch, so it's what we're making, you know?
Okay, and you, like, you already mentioned speedrunning, and I was going to ask, like, you obviously added specific mechanics that really cater to speedrunning,
right.
And are there any plans, like, adding a timed run, like, speedrun mode, or,
right.
Like, a leaderboard of some sort?
It's funny you ask that because the question is coming up a lot recently, and I'm thinking maybe, you know, because
gotcha.
The thing is, for me, it's not so much about what I want to do or what I originally thought, right? It's about just having the game feel right, you know? And so if there's overwhelming demand, we'll consider it for sure, you know? But I'm thinking at first we should probably deliver a package that's as lean as possible. It's just like press start, new game, and that's it. No
Absolutely.
Difficulty modes, nothing. You just jump right into it, right? And then maybe if people are asking for a speedrun mode, then it's something we can easily add on as a patch or whatever, you
okay,
know, or
yeah,
something, you know, like
definitely.
In the start menu once you beat the game once or things like that, you know?
Okay, okay.
But yeah, so the door isn't closed, but no promises either, you know?
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah.
So, another random question. Have you been approached by anyone in regards to, like, maybe, like, a crossover or maybe using your character in someone else's game? I don't know if you're allowed to really talk about that much, but, you know, like, or maybe it's, like, something you'd like to happen, but...
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Just a random question I had.
I mean, yeah, of course it would be super fun, I guess. It's not a thing I can really speak to at the moment, obviously. But also, you know, the game isn't even out yet, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we can't
yeah.
really know for sure what's going to come of it, you know? We know we have high demand for everybody seems to want a plush of one of our characters in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
The little Quarble, the Red Demon. So, you know, we're very much looking to, you know, have fun around the fact that it's a game, you know?
Gotcha. All right, and what's the release date for this?
So we don't have a set date at the moment,
okay.
but we're looking at the summer 2018, probably late summer, but, you know, before Spider-Man.
Okay,
because then
okay.
we're all playing Spider-Man, so there's no point.
So you're aiming basically before September, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. So, and a final question for you. What do you think is the biggest issue you have to deal with being a developer or a creative director or whatever role you want to have?
For me, it was emerging as a game designer. Because, you know, my big takeaway is, so I've been a gameplay programmer for about 10 years, right?
Okay, okay.
And I had game design aspirations, right? I wanted, because on the project now, I do game design, I do the writing, and I still code about 20% of my time because you never fully escape it once you have the skill set. But, and, you know, employers would be like, I know you're not a designer, because you're if you're valuable as a tech guy, you're kind of stuck there, you know?
Yeah.
So my big takeaway is, you know, don't let anyone tell you who you are, right? And so I just had to, like, no one was going to hand it to me. So it's like, all right, I quit. I'll start my own thing. I'll do what it takes. And now I get to work on my own game and do my own thing, you know? It might work and it might not. You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
One thing's for sure is that I regret nothing. And no matter what happens past this point, I made it up to here, you know? So I'm at PAX with my own game, meeting amazing people, you know? And so, yeah, I'm having the time of my life right now.
All right. Well, I mean, I played through the whole game. I have high hopes for it. I like I particularly love action platformers.
Cool.
So I really appreciate, like, the amount of detail that's went in it. I played a lot of games. They'll, like, make them pixelated, but you can tell a certain type of game when they want it to look exactly like the 8-bit or 16-bit games that they played when they were a child.
Right.
That is exactly what I get from this game. So I just
cool.
wanted to say that about that. So Terry, thank you very much
thank
for
you
having
very
this
much.
Interview.
Yeah. Man, appreciate you.
And look out for The Messenger coming, hopefully, summer 2018.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to Nintendo Seconds, where we put Nintendo first.